Welcome to Inconvenient Chats. My name is Jan.
My name is Kaizu.
And we're two friends who both have been working with climate change for a number of years now. I'm an economist by trade. Kaizu, you are?
I am a political scientist by background, but just like you, working sustainability nowadays.
And Inconvenient Chats is our podcast to lean into some inconvenient questions regarding climate change and societal change. We break them down, we discuss different perspectives, and we explore solutions. And in the end, hopefully feel a little bit less inconvenient about them. We ask every week, guys, do you have a good memory? No?
I can't remember.
Do you remember what we did last week?
We talked about attribution studies.
That's correct. That is correct. I think there's so much stuff still that I need to learn about attribution studies, and it's so interesting. And also, yeah, a lot of things in there. I think I really only scratched the surface. So, yeah, have a listen, people, if you're interested in that. It's actually pretty important for climate litigation by now to say which weather events were made more severe or more likely because of climate change.
Yeah, so important. I think you really got me convinced there. I was a bit skeptical in terms of like what's the larger societal impact. Yeah. Or I think the science like I was not doubting, yeah. But maybe more the impact that it could have in the society. But so beyond just understanding and creating knowledge, you got me convinced that there's a big,
yeah, cool.
It's a big role that it plays.
Very happy about that. Cool. But I was last week. I hope you brought a topic this week.
It would be great. I did. Speaking of impact on society, I want to talk about oil and Iran. Because it's been a topic that's been on my mind. I guess everyone's mind reasons. for the past month, or actually more now. And obviously there's so many things to say, and there's obviously all the things that are happening right now and all the humanitarian suffering that's happening right now. There is also the economic aspect of it, which has also been very much on the news. Oil, Strait of Hormuz, because Iran produces 5% of the world's oil, but 20% of the world's oil passes through the Strait of Hormuz. And with the strait being blocked, with only Iranian ships going through, or at least that being the case in the beginning, and then, there might have been different developments already since we record this podcast. But that has anyway put the price of oil onto everyone's lips.
Yes. Yeah, and there's also, I mean, it's part of at least German politics by now, where the coalition is discussing how to ease the burden. Then you very quickly get into what do you do, and from a climate perspective, is it just a subsidy again for oil companies? However you structure the easing of the costs on the citizens. But yeah, it's an interesting topic and difficult.
And indeed, it is a similar situation, especially in Germany, in terms of what happened after Ukraine and sanctions on Russia. So you were dependent on a fossil fuel-based source of energy that came from a conflict region. And then that kind of just blew up the prices back home. So first of all, I think to me, next to like all the immediate, I guess, urgency and changes and worry and whatever there is out there, this oil crisis has also been a reminder of how dependent we still are of oil.
Very much, yeah.
So, and it's not only the gas prices, which already went up by 20% in one day in the beginning of March in Europe. So that is quite significant. Quite a significant increase for an average person who, for example, drives every single day. But it's, you know, there's also a dependency in our food system because most of fertilizers use oil. and different supply chains, helium and even clothes, polyester is made of oil.
Yeah.
So it kind of made me feel like, wow, we really are dependent of this.
We are 100% that's how the West's economic success story is also built on. It's built on oil a lot. But I think it's such a complex topic. So I'm really interested in how we're going to discuss it, because I'm also, there is also a role that the oil companies play in all of that, where it makes it more expensive for the regular consumer. Because just as an example, on another podcast, when all of this started, I heard also there's apparently a study to look at how petrol prices develop. And also they talked about how at gas stations, when the Iran conflict broke out, prices went up quite quickly, although the supply shock couldn't have reached them yet. And so, and historically also prices go up very quickly, but tend to come down not very quickly after a conflict has resolved. So there is, and that sounds now, of course, that again, the evil, big evil oil companies, but there is something in there that they are also trying to cash in.
Yes, it is the oil companies, but I think it is also the countries, right? So it's all, majority of the world's oil comes from state-owned companies.
Yeah, that's right.
Mostly in the Middle East and Russia. Either way, just the whole talk about oil and all the kind of like different problems that this has caused in our systems and in our societies, for a sustainability-minded person, can be also a bit discouraging, because we've been talking about moving away from fossil fuels for a long, long time, but it really feels like we're quite far away from that. And I think there the gap between the ambition and the reality really just shows itself.
Which is annoying. Because,
right?
Yeah, because we come back to this, to the thought of, or there are two thoughts, of course. One is that we have many of the technologies already. We just need to scale them to be less dependent on oil. Let's say electric vehicles or offshore wind or renewable energy, right? And then there is this talk about this energy trilemma, where defenders of oil always said energy cannot be all three of these things: clean, secure, and affordable. So one of them you always have to let go. And it's simply not true anymore. Wind and renewables are obviously clean. They are more affordable than oil, especially in a time like now. And they are also more secure because they are yours, right? They are not at risk of supply disruptions like what is happening now, because they are yours. No one owns the wind, right? If you have your own solar, if you have your own wind, then it's secure. Of course, you can have some like supporting technology with batteries and storage or hydrogen storage, etc. But the energy trilemma is like a smokescreen argument by now, and every renewable solve all of that.
Yeah, is it really? And then I think this is where we maybe get to the tension, because I've been, you know, then trying to research this question of, can we really transition away from oil, given all of these different dependencies that we have? And it's just really difficult to get to an answer. So, for example, on renewables, which are growing and which should be growing, and I guess if we look at the silver linings, we could think that maybe this oil supply chain disruption is going to give an additional boost for building up renewables, because, as you say, they grant you strategic autonomy in terms of electricity generation. Mm-hmm. But we depend on carbohydrates in our clothes, in our, you know, in fertilizers, So in the food system, you know, speaking of electrical vehicles and even the kind of industries and the ways that some of, like, for example, wind turbines are being manufactured, helium is a byproduct of oil and gas processing, and that is needed for all different types of hardware. For example, for semiconductors. So, and this was one of the supply chains that was also very disrupted because Qatar is one of the major producers of helium. And it just really, it kind of made me think, and I guess this is kind of like a devil's advocate and very cynical question. It'd be like, it's just so complex, right? And, you know, oil has brought for the good reason. So it's like, it's very transportable. It's relatively cheap because we're only paying the cost of what it takes to pump it off the ground. It's easy. So it's enabled us to do so much in the past few hundred years. And we're so interlocked with it. So what does that transition really, really imply? Is, I think, just a massive question. And I'm not even pretending that we're going to solve that, because I tried to research and see if someone else has solved that. And to be honest, it's quite difficult to find anything, or not anything. You can find a lot of things, but it's really hard to see what information is complete, what is opinions framed as facts, because it is such a deep going topic.
I get it. I think, but it's good that you mention all of these intricacies, because my mind, as you now also heard from my comments, go immediately to electricity production, essentially, or energy. Heavy industry also needs oil to power their processes. However, and again, there I'm absolutely not an expert, it feels like options do hopefully exist. But there I'm actually a little bit more in a wizard camp, where I would think that we have outside options for, let's say, plastics. Plastics anyway, there's so many downsides to more and more plastic in the world that we need to just have a different kind of product. I feel like these are things where we then need innovation and need to get out of that. Because what is the alternative? The alternative cannot be that because we have built certain processes on byproducts of oil or oil itself, that we just fuck up our planet more because we can't change our ways. I don't think that's also, that's the alternative. So I think the way is clear, that no more oil should be burnt. And then whatever processes are dependent on oil or its byproducts, we need to find different solutions.
Yeah. And I think that gets also to the core tension or dilemma, however you want to call that, which is, on the one hand, we just can't afford really burn any more fossil fuels if you want to stay within 1.5 or even 2 degree scenario, because otherwise we're just going to ruin the conditions of life on the planet. Right. And then, but on the other hand, the demand for oil is going to decrease from now to 2050.
The demand is to increase.
Yes. In the current scenario. So obviously that is not the 2 degree scenario. I think we're now in something like 4 degrees or so. But it's like a massive world scale conundrum, massive contradiction.
Because IEA saying it is increasing in certain scenarios shows you simply, even if we electrify our society, that we are so dependent on oil and its derivative products that they permeate our life. Again, what you said on plastics or clothing, etc. So there's simply a lot of things that are where I, for example, don't even know what's based on oil or where do we need oil for. But I maintain my point. I think then there needs to be a change, or certain things have to die, simply, in a way. And I mean products. Then we I don't know what it is, in a certain textile in clothing or plastic or so, then we just have to not use that anymore. Then that's yeah. that product or line of item has reached the end of its time because we can't use oil anymore.
And I guess there's a million different questions you can add to that. How would that transition going to happen? Is it going to be by design or by, you know, collapse? And I don't have the answers for those. Mm. But just realizing, I think, this big contradiction, which in itself is also hard to make sense of, it's just quite overwhelming and to be honest, quite inconvenient and uncomfortable, because on the it feels like you have your lifestyle on the one end and or like in one hand, and then you have your kind of values and ambitions on the one end. And when you're looking at this picture, they seem to be much more contradictory than what you would maybe like to think. And because it comes so close, but it's also something that's so international, it can also be difficult to relate to it. Mm. So like, it makes you feel very small, but at the same time, it feels very important. So again, I feel like we get into the numbness / disengagement risk.
Because it's so complex.
We've been talking about before, because I think it's very easy in today's world to feel the need to have an opinion of something and need to have and have an argument to back up that opinion, which I think is, you know, in most cases great. But there are also topics where it might be just really difficult to get to that point.
No, 100%. I mean, that's that, especially a topic like this that is so complex and where there are so many different parts that it feels not doing it justice by talking about it in such a big picture, because you can't solve it if you just talk about it big picture wise. So you actually need to go into the details, but the details are hard to understand. You can't talk about every single aspect at the same time because they need the details. So then you only should speak about one detailed aspect, but then you can always say, yeah, we're leaving out this one, which is also a huge part. It becomes hard and then you get disengaged. That's right. But I think that's why you need to, again, there it must be possible to still connect all the dots, even for a complex topic like that, where you don't know all of it, but then bring people in that know it.
How does this question make you feel? What thoughts does it evoke in you?
The thing is, I'm going into it a little bit naive and ignorant. My main goal is big picture, and I'm saying oil is dead. If we want to save, I don't know, the lavender that's growing in my garden or the apple tree that I have standing in my tiny backyard, oil needs to die.
Uh-huh.
Full stop. So I know the basics of it. Again, I know which questions I would want to ask in a way, but I can't answer them myself because I would need people that are more into all of these topics. I know what the goal needs to be. I have a feeling that we have solved then a lot of that part already, because the electricity or the energy system is a big part of that still. And then the other things, we just need to have also innovation. I think if I think about clothing, for example, there are so many sustainable clothing brands out there by now. It must be possible to move away from, I don't know, what's oil-based, I guess, polyester. And nylon and stuff. Mm. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It must be possible to move away from that. And then if we can't have clothing anymore that is based on nylon, that's it. Then we just don't have nylon clothes anymore. Then we just have cotton.
You have a very Buddhist attitude towards it.
At one point, there needs to be a radical shift away from the way of life that we have to achieve the goal of killing oil. And it is not going to be cheap all the way. It will cost a little bit more, but then that's what we have politicians for, to make that transition possible and acceptable for the citizens of their nation. However that is done. But I think the big picture vision needs to be oil is dead to save the planet ultimately.
And again, save the planet so that humans can live.
Correct.
right?
Yeah. So it is, I mean, it's again what we talked about in the episode, in your last episode 2 weeks ago, the what you called the selfish case for climate action, where we would like to probably live as long as we can. I guess that goes for the majority of people, but having more and more greenhouse gases in the air or pollution just doesn't really help you doing that.
And again, then bringing this back to the individual level, or like, what do you do? Because indeed, there's policy regulation needs to play a massive role. There's also just a redistribution of profits, and supporting the people who have it the hardest to transition also to the future. So the whole transition part of it. There's also just infrastructure that is just being owned by states or big players where you as an individual can't do much. But I guess we kind of often come back to this, oh, what can an individual do versus not? And maybe it's not really an either or type of things.
Yeah, there one thought is also sometimes we don't let the individual do what they could do, right? It
Okay, what do you
comes
mean?
back to what we discussed with Christian, where the World Resources Institute brought out this report where individual climate action can actually account for quite a bit. But if the framework or the guidelines or the legislation is not given, individuals can only realize 1/10 of that potential. That was the number. And the point also is that we sometimes help, or legislators help people with subsidies to live the life they used to live. For example, now if gas prices are up, I know that the German government, for example, is trying to alleviate that by lowering the taxes, I think, on petrol. So we are helping people live their lives the way they used to live, but that money can also be spent differently. I remember also from the IPCC, I think that fossil fuel subsidies are responsible, if you got rid of them around the world, it would reduce emissions by 10%, I think was the number. So I think we also need to decide on where does the money go and what do we want to support as an economist also. And that's also supported by one of the main economists in Germany again. And it's not a super, it's a little bit of a difficult position, but prices also have signal potential. If something is expensive, people move away from it. So high gas prices or petrol prices, the German government, by lowering taxes, for example, is distorting that price signal of something that we might not want anymore. The problem is, of course, people cannot switch from an ICE to an EV from yesterday to today. I get that, right? But price signals are important in an economy, so people over time move away from it. If we are spending money so people can continue living the life that they have lived so far, we will never make the transition. So let's spend the money
Green
where,
VAT?
yeah, there we are, right? Episode 26 or 25, or what was it from us? The carbon VAT or the climate VAT. Right. So I think there is no overarching strategy of how is that money spent so we move away from our way of life into a new, also amazing, and can be really, again, there we were with the hopeful messages, way of life that just looks different. But how do we spend the money smartly to move into a new world where politicians don't feel like that they lose the next election in 4 years? That's all. Sometimes there are different incentives, of course.
Many scholars and thinkers and writers in I guess you would say like the degrowth space or in the environmental space, I think what they often say is that we need to go towards a future where we're going to have less, but we're going to be happier. And they often then refer back to the numerous studies that have been done on human psychology in terms of what constitutes happiness. And that's mm-hmm. not stuff and money, but it's typically community connections. Yes. Of course, having your basic needs met. Mm. But that's it. So it's a lot of intangibles. And maybe that is some of that hopeful message or messaging that could be brought into picture.
I feel like this is the perfect topic for us to find someone to interview, because I feel like you and I are also a little bit scratching the surface because we're not super deep into big picture systemic transformations. How do we move our society away from oil? There must be someone out there that knows a little bit the big picture thing of that and how, whether it's possible or not. I mean, you said you would try to find something and it's difficult, but maybe someone of the listeners knows someone who could talk about that, and then we can try to ask that person to come on.
I think the human happiness part is something that we definitely have a lot of things to say for. It's mm-hmm. more the question of, can we really transition away from oil, and what is that going to entail? I think yeah. that's lacking some concreteness, at least based on my Googling.
Ecosying, you mean?
Yes. And search engine.
Search engine. Yeah.
But yeah, but I think that was my thoughts for today. It is a rather intimidating topic for many different reasons, which I find quite understandable. But I do find it very interesting to explore that tension and that that discomfort, because in the end it is really at the root of the whole transition that our societies need to go through.
That's a good topic, and I think it's not over after discussing it for 25 minutes.
I think it's definitely it's only the beginning.
Cool. Yeah, but do you want to add anything, or should we go to the outro?
I think that's it for today.
Cool. Then, thank you very much for bringing the topic, Kaiser, as always. If anybody out there wants to give feedback, you can write to kaiser@inconvenientchats.com or jan@inconvenientchats.com.
If you have a topic in your mind that you've always wondered about, please do send us an email and we'll try to make it a little less inconvenient for all of you. You can also support us by hitting subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you listen to your podcast, and leave us a review. And switch on automatic downloads.
Very good. Thank you very much. And so we're going on a 2-week well-deserved break, which I think is nice to regroup and think a little bit about our podcast. If any of you really have feedback, let us know. We'll be back in 2 weeks with some new episodes and some more interviews that we've planned. Exciting. But before that, we need to hear the latest of Kaiser's moving saga. So how's the wardrobe and how's the glue?
It's better. So I'm sleeping in my own bed without any migraines in the mornings.
That's good. I'm happy.
So it's getting better. However, now I seem to have some troubles with my Wi-Fi, because I dropped out of the recording today 3 times. So there's been more editing for today's episode than usual, but getting there.
It's okay. It is a process. Good thing is I was talking, so I just kept on rambling.
Good timing. Sweet.
Cool. Amazing.
Thank you so much for the conversation today, Jan.
You too. And then we'll hear us probably earlier than 2 weeks, but everybody out there, hear you in 2 weeks.
See you then. Bye-bye.
Ciao. This time, Kaiser dropped off. I think her internet just died, like oil. The problem is I need Kaiser's internet. I don't need oil, or probably I do somehow. But either way, I'd rather have Kaiser's internet work than oil work. Maybe she's coming back. Maybe she's not. We will see. Until then, I'll be quiet.